a long time. We go back to the Belmont. Connor is great. He's a good young broadcaster. I go, so you don't like Connor? I never said that. I stopped putting words in my mouth.
So, it was really, really fun.
Thank you. Yeah, that was part of our little experience. You guys did one too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about food.
Yeah, perfect. Perfect for you guys here. Do you guys feel extra comfortable? Because I know you're both foodies. Do you feel extra comfortable here in the culinary kitchen? Or do you feel helpless because you can't really cook
anything?
Honest
answer?
Can't cook
anything.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Because when you think, most of my life, I spend in my kitchen. Because we have a kitchen great room kind of thing where it's like the living room and kitchen are all open. So I'm, yeah, this is an ideal combining of worlds for me, because usually there's sports on and I'm in a kitchen. So it could not be more comfortable for me.
TVs everywhere.
TVs.
It is beautiful in here.
Big stove behind us here.
Oh, my God, yeah. Right? Island.
The only thing I don't have is the open bottle of wine.
We can fix that.
Yes, we could.
Yeah, I think there's definitely Heineken in the refrigerator.
Well, no, there's a full wine fridge, actually.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
I saw spices from the New World in there as well. So, yeah, it's really quite lovely in here.
What do you have coming up for us?
All right, so I don't know if you guys realize this or not, but the Chicago Tribune now has a White Sox beat writer that goes to all of the White Sox games.
You don't say.
I know. So we are going to talk to that guy. It is Lamon Pope.
Cool.
Covers the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune. We will also talk to Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for NBC Sports Chicago, and all sorts of fun from 12 to 2 as I get to fill in for Lawrence Holmes, gentlemen.
Enjoy it.
Outstanding. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, guys.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I watched Baez last night in the seventh inning. The worst kind of at bat that a hitter can have is when he strikes out, but he never swings at a strike. This guy hacked at 7 or 8. He could have walked twice.
He also had a home run and a single last night.
Wait a minute. In the seventh inning, you're only as good as your next at bat.
I understand what you're saying, but the guy went 3 for 5 last night. It's not like he went 0 for 5.
He could have been 5 for 5. He could have been 6 for 5. You
could have been 6 for 5? I didn't know that was a thing.
I mean, go 3 for 5 with a home run. I mean, what else do you want?
Tony, Javi's really good. And last night, he went 3 for 5 with a home run. I'm just saying.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Good afternoon! Welcome in to the Lawrence Holmes Show. This is not Lawrence Holmes. I am Mark Grody, and I get the opportunity to fill in for Lawrence Holmes on the Lawrence Holmes Show. I'll be here from noon to 2 today. As always, want to hear from you guys out there on today. This is the 5th of July. It is a Friday. It is right to not know what the day of the week is. I won't really be comfortable with what day of the week it is until probably Monday. Then I'll start knowing that once again. We are here. We are available for you, as always, at 312-644-6767. I am textable for you. I got the text screen right here. I'm constantly refreshing and reading and analyzing and playing back just for you. We are textable at 670-11. That's the way to do that. And you can find me on Twitter as well, 24 hours a day, at Mark Grody Sports. Last name is spelled G-R-O-T-E, just like my great uncle once removed, Jerry Grody, G-R-O-T-E, at Mark Grody Sports is the way to do that. And this hour on The Score is being brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference. On the show today, as I was telling the guys, Bernstein and McKnight, they are smart. Coming up at about 12:25 today, we will get a chance to talk to Lamon Pope. He covers the White Sox for the Chicago Tribune, talking about a Sox series against the Tigers, which was mostly good until yesterday, which we'll get to in the rundown here in just a second. At 1 o'clock, ISU guy Tony Andracki, Cubs reporter for NBC Sports Chicago. Again, he'll join us at 1 o'clock to talk about the Cubs, who got a, you'll hear this a lot, a much-needed win over the Pittsburgh Pirates yesterday. A couple of other things that we will get to on this show today as well. Tigers television yesterday, the Tigers, of course, played the White Sox, made a subtle, I almost want to say polite accusation against the White Sox yesterday. We will play that audio for you. It is it is subtly interesting, too. So you have to put your subtle caps on for this one. That's coming up a little bit later on. And then we're going to get to good old-fashioned American gluttony and something that has to stop on Instagram and Facebook. And you know what? I have been guilty of this, too. We'll get to all of that in a little bit, but right now it is time. We're keeping this very Lawrence Holmes today. It is time for the Rundown.
Run them down!
The Rundown.
All right, here we go. Rundown is going down. We will start with the Chicago White Sox. As they were taking on the Detroit Tigers at Guaranteed Rate Field, the game starts off well for the White Sox in the fourth.
Right field and deep to the wall. Sox lead. Have some fun, Sox fans. 2-1.
Jose Rendon with a two-run blast. Again, that was in the bottom of the fourth. Made it 2-1 White Sox at the time against a very effective Matthew Boyd for the Detroit Tigers, who was striking out guys left and right. It was on a 1-2 count with two outs, so we'll call that a clutch home run for Rendon. Reynaldo Lopez has struggled this year. He would give up three extra base hits in the sixth inning, which was capped off by a Nico Goodrum blast in the sixth.
2-2 coming. That's a dart to right field. Charlie's back. He's got no play. To the Goose Island it goes. Goodrum has a two-run homer, the fourth extra base hit of the inning for the Tigers, and it's 7-2.
Yeah, low fastball. I hate to say it, but I like Nico Goodrum. I know you don't want to hear that right now, White Sox fans, but he's a good player, good base runner, scoring from first base basically on a single at one point in time in the game. Reynaldo Lopez, who we'll talk about, has struggled this year. His ERA, 6.34, amongst qualified pitchers in the American League, that is the highest. And if that sounds familiar, it's because that was Lucas Giolito last year. All right.
You're saying Reynaldo could be Lucas then?
Pretty much, yeah. Next year, he can definitely become Lucas Giolito. I actually, while we're on it, Tony, who's done it again, I think that the White Sox have earned, they've earned my trust in their ability to develop, and we're all in such a rush to want things quickly in this age of baseball, and maybe justifiably so, because some players like Chris Bryant and Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, they have spoiled it for everybody because of their instant MVP success. But the turnarounds for Yoan Moncada, for Tim Anderson, and that guy Lucas Giolito, I think should have, and maybe will have, allowed you to trust this team a little bit more. And that Reynaldo Lopez, who, what, he had a sub-4 ERA last year, I think that they can turn this guy around. But we'll get more into that. Let's get to some positive stuff. And Eloy Jimenez has been positive all year. He is still hitting well, and here's a great example.
That ball's crushed to center field. Reyes back. He's got no play. It's gone! Did you say come back? 8-4.
Yeah, Eloy Jimenez with a two-run jack, bottom of the sixth. That makes it 8-4 Detroit. Just to the right of center field, all of his home runs, and it's good, too, that he got over the not hitting home runs at Guaranteed Rate Field, and he's got six or seven there this year. They're all spectacular, 436 feet. He's hit longer ones this year. Again, just to the right of center field. I love dead center field home runs. There's something devastating about them. Like, it's typically as you know, the deepest part of a ballpark, or at least in a lot of cases. I always just think, and maybe it's old school thinking, but it always feels like it's a higher degree of difficulty to go center field. And it's also harder to tell off the bat. It's harder to tell. I mean, I know that from my days in the booth with the Cubs, that the trajectory can be a little bit tricky when the ball goes to center field, and just telling if it's a straight up jack. But yeah, it always just feels like there's extra muscle involved in a home run to dead center. And that's what it was for Aloy. His 15th home run of the year, and his development is coming along very nicely as well. But the White Sox end up losing the game, 11-5 the final score. I should point out that Matthew Boyd, about whom I was just speaking, 13 strikeouts over 5 1/3. The only reason he really came out, the guy ran out of gas, 106 pitches. That's what happens, kids, when you strike so many guys out. Nico Goodrum, 3-for-5. Reynaldo Lopez, his day was 5 1/3, 6 earned runs, 9 hits on the day. And this is your White Sox manager, Ricky Renteria, after the game, talking about Lopez's outing.
He's going to continue to work, try to make the adjustments that are necessary. Some of it are simply more mental approach. Some of the physical things that Coop was looking at during the ball game, you can see when he's not getting back and staying behind the ball, but those are all correctable. But again, you got to just keep battling.
Yeah, the repeating of the motion was not good. His slider was off yesterday, so it seems like there's a lot of things floating around in Ricky Renteria's head. You know, in Reynaldo Lopez's head, maybe what Lopez needs to do is go to, here's what he should do, I got it, I just figured this out. What Reynaldo Lopez needs to do is go talk to Lucas Giolito's high school baseball coach during the offseason and get him right, and then he can go talk to Don Cooper. At some point in time too, and he'll straighten stuff out. So that is the story of the White Sox yesterday. A loss after a jubilant doubleheader sweep over the Tigers. You have to say that the series was certainly a success, despite losing by 6 runs yesterday. The White Sox with the rare and endangered Friday off, just like the Cubs, because those two teams play each other tomorrow. 6:15 right here on the score, by the way, John Lester against said Lucas Giolito. On to the Chicago Cubs, and it was, in the words of Ice Cube, it was a good day, and it started fast. Chris Bryant to the plate in the first.
He drives one in the air toward right, well hit, deep, it's got a chance, it's going to be a home run. Bryant, a home run to right center, Cubs are on the board, 1-0. That's the area where it carries, right over the 375 marker. And Chris Bryant has just belted his 17th home run, Cubs lead 1-0.
KB had a day, and he was hustling right out of the box. 4-for-5. With 3 runs on the day. Yeah, he tore out of the box on that home run because I think that, yeah, Chris Bryant got a little scolding when he didn't hustle recently, and he's the last guy to not do those type. Like, he has always been overly respectful of 90, and in one case he wasn't. So he's taken it personally. He had a hell of a day yesterday. The Cubs with a 1-0 lead in the first. It gets better. Albert Almora Jr. with a blast in the second inning.
Here's a fly ball deep center field off the bat of Almora. This ball's got a chance. Gone. Almora hits one into the Pirates' bullpen, which is in back of the Cubs' bullpen, just to the left of dead center. That is one of the longest home runs we have ever seen Albert Almora Jr. hit. That's a drive of about 430 feet. Cubs lead 2-0.
And in the case of Albert Almora Jr., he needed it. Absolutely needed that blast. A one-out home run for Albert Almora Jr., a 2-1 Cubs lead. Wilson Contreras, third inning, getting in on the derby.
1-1 pitch on the way to Contreras. Swung on, hit in the air to left field and deep. This ball's back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Long home run, Wilson Contreras. Cubs lead 4-2. A towering drive. It landed on that little walkway, and it was gone by plenty. Fair by maybe 30 feet and gone by about 60.
Number 18 on the season for Wilson Contreras, who is just absolutely having a terrific season in every way, shape, and form. You know what he does defensively. He's getting better, believe it or not, at framing pitches. And just consistent hitting throughout the season, his 18th home run of the year. All right, then we had some good old-fashioned fun with Joe Maddon losing his mind.
Now the right-hander delivers. Baez takes inside. He got hit by the pitch. Or was it a foul? Did it hit him on the bat? It may have hit the knob of the bat. It was another fastball inside. Now Joe West pointing to the Cubs' third base dugout. Has he also pointed to the Pirate dugout? Has there been a warning issued? I only saw him point to the Cubs.
It's probably Joe Maddon was jawing, and now Joe West just throws out Joe Maddon. Joe's going to get his money's worth, but good.
Now Joe Maddon comes out. He's yelling over at the Pirate dugout.
See, what's happening is Joe Madden's yelling at the Pirate dugout, and Joe West is trying to stop Maddon from going over there, and that's the problem. Is Madden's yelling about all the up and in, up and in, up and in that the Cubs have gotten. And
apparently, you know, it has gotten around in league circles that the Pittsburgh Pirates have had a tendency not only to pitch high, but high and tight near the head. And clearly the Cubs manager, Joe Maddon, had it, as Ron Coomer was explaining right here on the Score. In the fourth inning, Jordan Lyles, high and tight on Baez. Later in the game, the scarier moment, actually, in the fifth inning, David Bote gets cracked in the head with the bases loaded against reliever Clay Holmes. Now, you know that considering the fact that the bases were loaded, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt that it was not a purpose pitch, but it was interesting because when Bote went down, Bote was fine, just for people who didn't see. He was fine. You know, he was a little bit dizzy, got up, took his base, stayed in the game, all that kind of stuff. But it was funny watching David Bote. He looked like he felt like he should have been hurt. Like when you get hurt and you're shocked you didn't break something or that you're still alive. Bote had that like there's got to be something wrong. I just got hit in the head, and everybody in America could hear the sound off of my helmet. It was like, holy bleep, I'm actually okay. I'm going to take my base. I don't think he thought he was okay, but luckily David Bote was in that case. The other observation that I had was that Joe Maddon, you know, he comes out, he's fired up, he's doing spin moves. Nobody's ever seen him that, you know, crazed at any point in the game. The Clint Hurdle reaction was kind of fun. It was almost like Clint Hurdle didn't know what was going on at the moment. Like he remained his stoic self throughout that entire ordeal. And I actually give him a little bit of credit because I didn't see him jawing back at Maddon. His comments today that I read from Pittsburgh were very measured and like, I get it. I understand why they'd be mad, you know, up and in. Nobody likes that kind of stuff. So a little bit of I know you guys don't like Clint Hurdle, but I will give a little bit of credit. There's also a history between the Cubs and the Pirates on a number of levels. You know, 2015, I was there when Chris Coughlin slid into Jung Ho Kang, the World Series game, not the World Series game, the wild card game. You remember that. Jake Arrieta gets hit. Sean Rodriguez, the puncher of the Gatorade jug, was ejected. Rizzo had a hard slide last year. Hurdle ripping Baez, was that last year where he was basically ripping him for the way he plays the game? So there's a fun little thing going on between the Cubs and the Pirates that got a little bit more real yesterday. So that was Joe Maddon getting ejected in the fourth inning. All right, we haven't even gotten to the guy who made his first major league start yesterday. That is the 26-year-old Robel Garcia.
Here's the 3-1. Swung on, hit in the air to deep center field. Back goes Marte. It's got a chance. Gone. Robel Garcia with his third hit of the day. Welcome to the Cubs, Robel Garcia.
3-for-5 on the day for Robel Garcia. Made it 11-3, Pat Hughes told you right here on 670 The Score. It was a horrible start to his day, though. Oh, man. When he botched the pivot on a potential double play early in the game with Josh Bell at the plate. And I was like, here we go. Cubs at first and second and nobody out. But luckily, was it Marte? I don't remember who it was. No, it couldn't have been Marte. Somebody hit into a 6-4-3 double play on which Robel Garcia got a chance to totally redeem himself as the pivot man on a double play started by Javier Baez, 6-4-3. And then things got a lot better for old Robel Garcia, the 26-year-old, the most interesting man in the world, by the way, because he played in Italy. As I think it was Jim DeShays who said, he married an Italian woman, you know, was at one point in time a prospect here, as in Major League Baseball, speaks multiple languages. Tell me he's not the most interesting man in the world. All right, one more piece of tape right now from Joe Madden, and let's hear Joe responding to the Pirates pitching inside.
I was getting way too out of control, culminating in David getting hit in the head. I have no issues with pitching inside. I'm an advocate, but when you get that many pitches, not just that tonight, but it's been that way somewhat during the entire series. They have their pitching philosophy, which I appreciate inside. I don't appreciate up and in, and neither.